Well, these are exciting days at Lakeview as the search committee is doing their work. And it's just amazing to see them every time they come together for a meeting. That's usually every Monday night. They first gather around this altar, and each member of the committee prays, asking God for leadership, asking God to take away their own choices or preferences or whatever you may call it, and to give them a clear mind as to what God's will is. And it's just been amazing to see that process. And they're a good team working together, and they love one another, and they get serious when serious things are going on, and they have fun together. They joke around with one another, and it's just a spirit of love that just permeates every meeting that they have. So I'm expecting great things as God continues to lead us toward that one man. And I want to talk to you today about, does it matter what you believe? Because here we are, ready to call a new pastor. I would love to see that new pastor come into this church and be able to start day one leading this church towards the vision that God has for her. On day one, not to have to deal with any issues or any problems, but just to come in here and the church just receives him well, and he's able to lead us, and he's able to get to know everyone on a personal basis. That's my vision. That's what I want to see happen. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 8, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. But in honor of the Word of God, that's what we're talking about today in this whole month. Would you stand with me? In John chapter 8, I'm actually going to include verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. You get that? As Jesus spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Father, bless the reading of your word today. May we be attentive to your Holy Spirit. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to just work among these pews today and to touch hearts and to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the Word of God can be very influential, especially if you believe the Word of God. It reminds me of a story. I'm sure you probably heard it before. A little boy was in a little country church on a Sunday morning, and the preacher pointed out the verse in Genesis 3:19, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Well, the little boy went home with his mama, and about an hour or so after lunch, the little boy came screaming into the living room, "Mama, Mama, come and see." She said, "Johnny, what's wrong?" He said, "There's a whole lot of people under my bed, and they're either coming or going." See, he believed what the Word of God said. So when he saw all that dust, well, there you go. If we're being honest, sometimes we don't know what we believe. Or we think we know, but then our beliefs are challenged, and then we're not sure what's true anymore. What seems to matter more than our beliefs is what we do and how we act. It becomes a question of priorities and actions, not beliefs. Often we don't even stop to think about what we believe. We just do. We exist. We get up, we go to our jobs, we interact with our family and friends, we plan for the future. The central truth of the passage today is this: does it really matter what we believe? Well, I say it does. I also hold to the position that our belief system must be based entirely upon the Word of God. Many around us would say that it does not matter what one believes. According to a lot of people, you can believe whatever you want as long as it's truth to you personally. This concept has led to the idea that no objective standard of truth exists. All truth is subjective, and it only is true if someone believes it to be true. But I want you to listen to 1 Timothy 3:16. It tells us how the Word of God came to be in our hands. 1 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's God-breathed. Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, that's principles. Principles to live by. For reproof. Now that's criticism or admonition. We don't like that part many times from the Word of God, where the Word of God criticizes us. But that's how God tweaks us. That's how God makes adjustments in us. Also, for instruction in righteousness. Now, that means uprightness, virtue. Very important qualities that we should have. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to see Lakeview Baptist Church experience revival? Four people. Would you like to see Lakeview Baptist Church experience revival? Amen. I would too. Revival is possible if we'll meet God's conditions. The Word of God is our source for all truth. So the Word of God is our source in learning how to have revival. Well, this passage that we're looking at, the first point in your notes relates to biblical truth is universal. Look back at 31 again, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those who believed, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." This word is universal. It applies to everyone in the world. Every person on the face of the earth has the ability to receive the word of God and to receive the salvation that it imparts. It's applicable to all situations. The scriptures can affect the thoughts and actions carried out by all people throughout the world. Think of Bible translation. More than 1,500 languages have access to the New Testament and some portions of scripture. More than 650 languages have the completed translated Bible. About 7,000 languages are known to be in use today. So we've got some work to do on Bible translation. Personally, I've had the privilege of being in various countries and preaching the Word of God, in most cases with the use of a translator. I've been to Newfoundland, I've been to the Philippines, I've been to Brazil, and I've been to Belarus. Beautiful country, by the way. And in those places where I would preach the Word of God, I preached the Word similar to how I preach here in the States. I had to change my illustrations around sometimes because, illustrations used in another culture don't always fit. And you give them an illustration that's an American illustration, and they'll look at you and, you know, the crickets are chirping, you know. They just don't get it. So I didn't use, most of my illustrations were biblical illustrations. I knew I couldn't go wrong with that. I could reach out from the pulpit or 101 by going out on the streets or into the homes and share the Word of God. Many times I would just simply use the Roman road to salvation. I would share the word of God, and in those places where I needed a translator, I was always blessed to have a great translator who helped me so much in delivering that message, seeing people come to Christ right where they were, and then seeing them come to the church services that night and come forward and make a public profession of faith before their neighbors. The Word of God did that. And the Word of God can do that here. But we've got to let God work. We've got to get out of God's way. A.W. Tozer said, "The Bible is the inevitable outcome of God's continuous speech. It is the infallible declaration of His mind." When I talk to people and try to answer their questions, I always try to answer their questions by using the Word of God. I have found this to be true. People don't usually argue with you if you answer with the Word of God. The Word of God is true. It is absolute. And even a non-believer respects the Word of God. You can believe that if you want, whether you want to or not. Even the non-believer respects the Word of God. I tell you, the non-believer respects Christians who are living a godly life. I can remember many times getting around people, and before I was saved, I knew their language. Their language was bad. My language was bad. But after I got saved, I'd go around those people, and their language had improved vastly. No curse words. But several of them told me, sometimes they'd slip up and say a word. They'd say, "Excuse me, I am so sorry I said that." And I simply said, "You're not hurting me, you're hurting God when you talk like that." And they would apologize, and I'd go on. I didn't make a big deal out of it. But our God is a holy God. And if we'll live close to that holy God, people will see us as holy. Do they see you as holy? Well, the biblical truth is universal. Secondly, biblical truth is objective. Going back to verse 31, he says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." You can't get any more objective than that. There's no "well" or "but," "well." No, that's a clear statement. If you abide in the Word, you are a disciple of Jesus. Clear cut. The Word of God is impartial. It's unbiased. It's not influenced by personal opinions or feelings. Thank God it's not. Because everybody has an opinion, don't they? But our opinions are secondary to the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God says what it means and means what it says. The message of Christ's love is clear cut. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We must accept the message of God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ in order to have abundant eternal life. Presently, our church is involved in a search for our next lead pastor. As our committee has worked, I've told you what a hard job they're doing to find God's man, and much effort's gone not only into prayer, but reading resumes. We received over 500 resumes to this church, listening to recorded sermons. A couple of our or at least one of our committee members, their spouse, joked about it and said, "Maybe my wife will get saved after listening to all that preaching." But they've listened to a lot of sermons. and much more. The committee is striving to conduct their search without considering their own personal preferences. In short, they are wanting God to lead them to just the right person that He's preparing for our next lead pastor. If we are honestly praying for the Lord to lead us to the right man, all of Lakeview must surrender to Christ, who, by the way, is the head of the church, and listen to His direction. To approach our pastor search in any other way will be working against the Holy Spirit's leadership. What I'm trying to do is get you ready for what's coming. I don't know when it'll happen, but sometime in the near future, you're going to be introduced to a man. And that man will be the product of many hours of soul searching done by your search committee. You need to be ready. You need to be prayed up to intersect with that knowledge. This isn't fun and games. And this isn't about what you like or you don't like. I mean, in this audience, you probably have a representation of four or five different kinds of preaching styles that are liked. Well, I hate to tell you, whoever the next man's coming, he's only got one preaching style. His. So get ready for God to show you who He is, what His preaching style is, all that. We must always be careful as to how we serve the true and living God. For example, the way we worship must be determined by God's Word. The way we worship really dictates a lot about our Christian life. If we're not worshiping in the right way, how in the world can we hear God? If we're having trouble with our worship life, we're having trouble in every area of our life. Let me tell you about the sons of Aaron. Their names were Nadab and Abihu. The sons of Aaron each took his censer and put fire in it. When they go to worship, they take fire and present it to the Lord. They put incense on it, but they offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified.'" So Aaron held his peace. Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. The Hebrew word translated profane means unauthorized, foreign, or strange. Do you worship God in a proper way? Do you worship God with a pure heart? With good intentions, in the right attitude? Are you able to come before God and lift up holy hands to Him? Do you approach God at the end of spending time with God and asking God to cleanse you and to forgive you of all sin and to make you ready for worship? In Ephesians 4:30, the Scripture says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." The word grieve means to pain, to hurt, to cause sorrow. When a Christian allows anger, bitterness, apathy, or any other negative influence to infect his life, God is hurt. The indwelling Holy Spirit is affected by the attitude of the Christian. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. "Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." All around us are people who don't know God. All around our church house are unsaved people. But yet we come into God's house with the wrong attitude of worship. And with that wrong attitude of worship, we're not pleasing God. Therefore, God can't speak to our hearts. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. But also, in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Quench means to put the fire out. Put the fire out. The Holy Spirit is compared to as being like fire. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fell. For some of you, if you were ever to be in a service where the fire of the Holy Spirit would fall, you'd probably get scared and run out the door. When the Holy Spirit of God gets to working through a congregation, those who are lost come running to the altar to get saved. Those Christians who are not in right fellowship with God come running to the altar to restore fellowship. They go running to people to make things right. When the Holy Spirit of God falls, you know it. I understand we have some people in our church who get on the phone and they call up people who didn't come to church and tell them everything that went wrong in the church service that day. I would to God that you would call up people and be able to say, the Holy Spirit fell today. You should have been there. People got saved. People changed their lives. They let God come in. Calling up people to tell them what went wrong in a service. Your heart's not right. In some churches, folks will grumble and complain over petty issues like the color of the carpet or the time it takes for worship to happen. If I preach too long, I got a clock, I can see. I'm aware what time it is. So if you've got to go somewhere, just slip out the door. The rest of us will wait and see what God's going to do. These attitudes grieve the Holy Spirit, will quench His power among a fellowship of believers. Don't you think that's happened? Can somebody nod your head yes? That's happened. The fire of the Holy Spirit's been quenched in this place for a long time. Do you like that? Do you enjoy that? I don't. I don't. I love being where the Holy Spirit is moving. But we got to meet God's conditions. We must be certain that all we do and say are based upon God's word and not our personal desires. See, as I said, we must approach God with a clean heart and clean hands in order to properly worship. If we are judgmental or critical towards anyone, God cannot accept our worship. But you say, I have hurt feelings. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But if you're being judgmental or critical to someone, why in the Lord's name don't you just go to that person and talk to them? You're sinning through being judgmental and critical. You are sinning. If you are a believer, you will come before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for that. I will too. All of us will. The judgment seat, the bema, it's going to happen. I'm not looking forward to it, and you shouldn't be either. But my goodness, you ought to try to do better. You ought to try to live by the word. Because God's told you. It's like your mama used to say, you know to do better. You know to do better. You say, somebody's hurt me. This is how it goes when somebody hurts a person who's living in the flesh. Well, they go tell all people about it. The people who hear them begin to think less of your offender. Then they join in speaking negatively about your offender. And then you have succeeded in causing others to sin, creating division in relationships, making yourself more upset by rehashing the details over and over, directly, knowingly, and willfully disobeying God's word by reacting according to your flesh rather than submitting to the Spirit of God. Now, there's another way to do it. God's way. When you get hurt, this is what God says do. Go directly to God in prayer. God listens to you and gives you a better perspective. You feel peace. The need to vent to others is gone. You have honored God by valuing unity over the very temporary pleasure of gossiping and gaining sympathy from others. Mature Christians know how to deal with conflict in God's way. Amen? Amen. That's how you deal with conflict. In God's way. And let me remind you, I am a preacher of the word. I have to preach the word. That is my calling. And if you don't respect the pastorate and you don't respect the pulpit and you don't respect God's word, God's your judge. A church, I'm talking to the whole church now, a church must pray to the Lord for all spiritual bondage to be broken. All spiritual bondage. There's a lot of it. Pray that all spiritual bondage be broken. It is God's will for Lakeview to be an evangelistic fellowship taking the word of God to the nations. So biblical truth is objective. It's straightforward. It doesn't miss the point. It aims right for the heart. Number three, biblical truth is verifiable. It's verifiable. We know it's true. Truth that can be checked or demonstrated to be true, accurate, or justified. If you'll study the original languages by using a Strong's exhaustive concordance, the true meaning of the words will come to life. I challenge you in your Bible studies, do word studies using that concordance and find out what the words really mean. And you'll have a better understanding of what God says. Also, biblical typology. This is a doctrine within Christian theology concerning the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament. Events, persons, or statements in the Old Testament are seen as types, prefiguring or superseded by antitypes. Events or aspects of Christ or his revelation described in the New Testament. In the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis alone, there are 22 types of Jesus found in those passages. I'm going to give you three. The first one, Joseph was loved by his father. About Jesus, the antitype, God said about Jesus, "This is my beloved son." Joseph's brothers did not believe him and hated him. About Jesus, the antitype, the Jews did not believe in Christ and they hated him. And then Joseph's brothers rejected his right to rule. About Jesus, the Jewish leaders said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." In all, there's 22 types just in the story of Joseph. There are thousands in the Word of God. All of these types and antitypes are proof of the reality of God's Word. God's Word is also verified through studies of His creation. So many biblical facts confirm the reality of the world in which we live. Regarding the human body, the Scriptures state that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139:14. As you look all around the creation, you can see God's hand in it. When a little bird lays an egg and hatches that egg and a baby bird comes forth, wow, That's a miracle of nature. No, it's not. It's a miracle of God. God's word is also verified through the many prophecies put forth in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament. The cohesiveness of the word of God throughout its 66 books validates its unique divine nature. As God inspired human writers to record the countless mysteries of his person and work, we receive a wonderful love story that is directed at humanity. Most of all, God's word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Biblical truth is verifiable. And finally, biblical truth works. It works. Again, in verse 32, the second part, and the truth shall make you free. The truth works. It meets the need that you need most, and that is to break you out of your bondage. It'll give you freedom. Biblical truth works. God's word is dependable and consistent 100% of the time. The principles of God's saving grace, the principles of good communication, its value in relationships, the principles of love and marriage, the principles of wisdom and understanding, the principles of child rearing, the principles of biblical financial stewardship, all these principles and many more. The Word of God gives you these principles. Simply reading the Psalms on a daily basis can lead a person through all of life's ups and downs. 150 spiritual songs just filled with God's instruction, praise, direction, and much more. From the very beginning of Genesis, God speaks. That which is nothing becomes something. God promises the couple that a seed's going to come and crush the head of the serpent, and he will come. God promises Abraham and his barren wife a child, and they have a child in spite of their infirmities. God told them even before they had that child, said, your seed is going to be immeasurable as the stars in the sky and innumerable as the sand by the seashore. And it happened. God also promises Israel that continued disobedience will result in captivity. And we read the Old Testament and we see, yes, the northern kingdom and southern kingdom both went into captivity. No other document of antiquity comes close to the predictive accuracy of Scripture. Critics may attack the Word of God, but they cannot deny the Bible's faithful and clear record of accurate predictions. But some folks still deny God's truth and hold on to false information. Usually that's because of prejudice. Prejudice will cause us to believe the wrong things. We start doing something when we're young and we just keep doing it, or somebody told us to do it that way and we just keep doing it, and we have a prejudice towards that. And then you read the Word of God and you find out you're supposed to behave differently, but it's hard for the Word of God to break you of that prejudice. Tryon Edwards said, prejudices are rarely overcome by argument. Not being founded in reason, they cannot be destroyed by logic. Usually a person's prejudice for a certain thing is not reasonable. So just to give a logical explanation as to why you should look at another point of view, it won't work. The only thing that will break prejudice is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God's got to prick that heart and say, you're wrong. You're wrong about this. Does it matter what we believe? Of course it does. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote this in the 19th century. He said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. 19th century. Would you like to be considered a goat? I don't want to be considered a clown. Men of God preach to the saints. Men of God preach to the saints who are living in obedience to Christ. But as the Bible said, in the last days they will heap up unto themselves men having itchy ears. So many times you want a preacher that'll just tickle your ears. You're doing okay. Oh yeah, I know. Tickle your... No. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts going in, cuts going out. But that must happen so that we can be healed. That must happen because we're sinful creatures. That must happen because we don't have it figured out. A church's worship time is not supposed to be an entertainment event. But today, that's what most people are wanting. They come to church and they say, entertain me. Give me a little sermon and let me go home. It's not supposed to be that way. When we sing in church, God is our audience. Not you. God. God Almighty. Worship happens when we come before God just as we are and we present ourselves unto Him. As we come before God, spiritual songs will prepare our hearts for the proclaimed Word of God. Now, I know there's problems in our church about opinions about what kind of music. You know, I've pastored churches all these years, and I've been able to lead my churches to live at peace with one another. And we always had a blend of hymns and praise and worship, or modern music, if you want to call it that. Everybody got along fine. I come here, there's a war going on. Every week, one or more people mention to me something about the music. Can I just go ahead and tell you what I think? Get it off your mind. Yeah, we need to come together and reevaluate how we do music. And just pray, Lord, how do you want us to do music? How should it be? What will bring you glory and honor? But for a part or a large part of the congregation, for them to always have that on their mind and going about gossiping about it, it's just causing you to sin. You're sinning. Well, the senior adults are being left out. I think if I were to talk to the senior adults, I don't think the majority of them would say they're being left out. And let me say something to the senior adults. Most of you are saved. You're already on your way to heaven. There's a place reserved for you in heaven. But outside these doors are people who have not even come into this church, and they are not saved. Is this church going to reach those people? Church, do you want to reach those people? Well, if you want to reach those people, you need to follow God's direction on everything that you do. Everything. Church members get more upset over sound, temperature, and music styles than they do about empty prayer rooms, altars, and baptistries. When's the last time you called up somebody and said, "Boy, I wish we could get somebody in that baptistry. I wish somebody would get saved." Well, see, that's the Holy Spirit's work. But if you're grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, He can't work. Let me tell you, God will send people into this church who need to be saved without you calling them, visiting them, or sending them a card or an email. He will send lost people to this church if we will get back to honoring God and not the institution of this building and this environment, and put God first again. He will send people to get saved. He'll send broken families in here who need to be reconciled. He'll send them. How do you know this? Because I've seen Him do it over and over again. The churches where I have served, and God was put on the top shelf and He was primary, and people were reconciling with one another and reconciling with God, God moved. Do you want God to move here? If you don't want Him to move, then just quit calling it a church and change it to country club. Because that's what it is. There's people mad at me right now, I know. But that's okay. I've had people mad at me before. I got this from God, and I leave it with God. When I step down from this pulpit, my charge is over. It's in your hands then. Spiritual songs are also sung because we are at war with Satan and his demons. In Ephesians 5:16, it says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." It says that in Ephesians. And by saying that, it's saying we are at war in an evil world. And he goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The very thing that's supposed to encourage us and get us ready to fight spiritual battles, you want to fuss about. How's that working? It's not working. Oh, by the way, you do know I'm not a candidate for your next pastor. This is one of the most free sermons I've ever preached. So, just know I'm not vying for that position. Never was. Matthew 24:12. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Dear friend, has your love grown cold? Are you a Christian? Are you really a Christian? If so, are you a hot-blooded, in love with Christ Christian? Let me tell you, if you are, people know you are. If you're not, people know you're not. God has not saved us so we can waste our time arguing over petty issues. Instead, He saved us for our edification. We are to carry the banner of Christ to oppose Satan and to show others the way of eternal life. Our prayer should be, "O Lord, lead Lakeview Church in the right way." Your pastor search committee has prayed that prayer about them and you. They're now in a phase of praying for you. They're praying that you will be able to meet that candidate and discern God's will when that happens. Peter Marshall, he was U.S. Senate chaplain in 1947. He said, give us clear vision that we may know where to stand and what to stand for, because unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I hope that's true in your life. Do you hunger for God's truth? Are there friends and loved ones you'd like to see saved? Do you sometimes feel like you're spiritually drained? Are you seeking the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth? Are you ready for a fresh movement of God in your life? Here's how you can do it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God's word is true. That's the only way healing's going to come to Lakeview. The only way. Listen to this. We need a prayer-based, blood-bought, heaven-sent, God-fearing, Christ-exalting, sin-killing, heart-changing, love-filled, Holy Spirit revival. I just close out by asking, if there's anyone here who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus died on the cross so that you could be saved. His blood atones for all sin. If you believe that Jesus is God and he came to earth through the incarnation and he lived among us and then he died for your sin and on the third day he arose, if you believe that, then you have the word of faith within you, Paul says. Claim your blessing. Receive Christ into your life. Surrender to him fully, and he will live with you forever. If you are a believer and you're walking outside of Christ, you're out of fellowship with Christ, I urge you today, get back in fellowship. If you need to reconcile with other people, whether it's family members, co-workers, church members, whoever it may be, reconcile with those people. Get your walk right. Get your life right. God will do that. I know the preaching's hard. I know it's not popular. This is God's message to Lakeview. I now leave it with you. And those of you who follow God's leading, you will be blessed. And I will be rejoicing with you. Lakeview, you have a decision to make. Are you going to major on the minors? Or are you going to major on what God says is important? That first of all, we love Jesus Christ and put him first. Then, the next thing is that we are in unity with one another because we are one body in Christ. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that. I don't. And it's God's will that we live in peace and harmony with one another. Can we not talk about our ideas and our problems? Sure we can. But we get with those individuals that where those things apply, and we speak to the truth in love, And we don't go out telling other people, because remember, if you do, you're sinning and you're causing them to sin. Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, if anybody offends one of my little children, it'd be better than a rock be tied around their neck and be dropped in the sea. That's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous living. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We know, Lord, that you're sovereign. You're a sovereign God. And I'm begging for this church here at Lakeview. I'm begging for this church to come alive, to be the church that you want her to be, that all the petty issues will go away, and that we will focus on what's important, starting with the great commandments, that is to love the God, our God, with all of our being. And then secondly, that we would love others with all of our being. And then that we would reach out in love to this lost and dying world. Give us a fresh vision of what we're to do. Big things are coming up in the next few weeks, probably, Lord. But we need your guidance and leadership right now. We're not ready to receive a new pastor. Get us ready, Lord. Get us ready. In Jesus' name, amen. This altar's open. Won't you come?
Oh, soul, are you
Amen.
Could you be seated for just a moment? I'm going to ask Nadia to come down for just a moment. And Justin Geiersberg, will you come down and have a seat? And while they're coming down, I'll have all of our deacons and our men's ministry leaders come down. We're going to pray for Justin in just a moment. But Nadia, you guys, the 6 weeks has flown by, hasn't it?
Yes, well, almost 6 weeks have gone so fast, and our hearts are so full of gratitude to Lakeview and the host families and everyone who is supporting this ministry and praying for us. On behalf of myself, I can say that I feel such a unity and such love of Christ, and it's such a blessing for me, and all the words from the preachers, all the sermons resonate in my heart, and even in our Bible classes where we study with our kids, like John 8:31, it's just one of the golden verses that we memorized. And all the kids feel such a gratitude and real blessing. So I just want to thank you again, just millions of thanks for everything that you arranged for the health of the children, all these doctor's appointments and wonderful events. But most importantly, it's that spiritual health, that you showed your love of Christ, love of for these kids, and we felt every moment of our stay here in America. And we will bring to Belarus this love and our hearts full of gratitude, and we just want to say again thank you. I think that all kids share the same feelings, and we really are sad that we are leaving. Yes, just thank you again. Thank you again.
Thank you. And we will be praying for you all as you get ready to leave, and so excited for what God will continue to do in your lives. Let's give them another applause. Thank you so much. And now for our deacons who are here, we've got some that are out of town. If you're a deacon, if you'll come down, and Justin and our guys on our men's ministry team, you know, last week, Mark talked about Justin in his sermon, and his service. I knew this was going to be hard today. You can come on down now. But he has been such a blessing. And we love this guy. We're so proud of what you're doing for Christ, teaching young men and women and the relationships you're forming. And we're sad to see you go from here, but we're so proud of you. And we're going to send you out as Lakeview and continue to pray for you. So since I'm having a hard time with this, I'm going to ask Mark to come, and we'll just pray over you and send you out well today.
Pray together. Father, we do thank you for gospel goodbyes, that we get to say goodbye to Justin, knowing that it's not a final goodbye, that we will still enjoy life with him here and with you forever. But God, we pray that as you send him into marriage and into new work, that you would bless his efforts. God, give much fruit to his labor. God, we ask that his marriage would show much of your gospel, and that his work in schools would show students how well you love them. God, we pray that your gospel would go forth in his life, and that your kingdom would grow because of the work through him. God, we pray that for our Belarusian students who are here too, God, as they go home, that we would be sending them back home with that same mindset, God, that you and your glory are primary in our lives. God, we ask that even as they go back, that they would be quick to share the gospel. God, we ask that for all of this church, as we say goodbye to each other, even today for a short time, that we would be sending ourselves out as your missionaries. Father, we love you. We thank you for your good gifts. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. As Justin, as we finish up, if you don't mind taking Mandy, and one of the awesome things about Justin's life we've been praying for was for a godly woman to come into his life, and she has. And that's Mandy, and she's here with us today. And so if you know Justin, want to love on Justin, we're going to ask them to head on back to the lobby so you can hug on them as they go. And I tell you, what a blessing it is to see when God brings two people together. And spending some time with Mandy and Justin last night, we know that has certainly happened. So, guys, when we get ready to pray, if you'll just head on back there. And, man, what a great day to be in this house. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just listen, remember my challenge to, you know, you got Shannon's number right there. So if you want to have a little fun with him at lunch today, shoot him a text, encourage him, tell him you miss him as he's away with his family, and he'll wonder what in the world has happened this morning and what I'm up to. So that'll be good. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I'm so thankful for this church. I pray that we would be a church that is so laser-focused on mission, that we see nothing but your glory and your greatness, and we have things happen in this church that cannot be explained by anything other than your Holy Spirit and your presence. I pray for great days for Lakeview, that we would be a place that is a hospital for the hurting. I pray that you would help us each find that moment in our life where we can find people in our daily walk and tell them about the incredible things that you've done in our lives so that they will not be able to walk away from that truth. I pray that you would keep us safe as we go out from here until we can meet here again. In your name we pray. Amen.